Am I right? The brother had some good things to say. And I talked with him a little bit, and there's some things in his testimony that I like to sit with him and ask him questions. Because he was a period of time that he was down. He was looking for God. He couldn't find him until the time of God came and God touched his heart. And I like his testimony. He sent greetings to everybody here. He was thankful to be here. And I'm thankful to the Lord that the Lord sent him here, you know. And these brothers have something to say, all of them. You know, Brother Sias and Brother Farmer. And I don't know, I look back and we start studying faith and keep on going on the subject of faith. And probably looking at the Word, sometimes our faith can be built up because faith cometh by hearing of the Word of God. And we don't know what we're doing, friends. It's the Lord that knows what He's doing. But Brother Adam Knight had tremendous experiences. I mean, the young man was living in abandoned cars. Can you imagine that? Place to place, drugs and everything else. And the Lord delivered him. It wasn't halfway. It was, he went to his knees and the Lord removed the complete thing away. And the Lord really touched him. He never had to be babysitted. Don't do this and don't do that. Some people there don't do this and don't do that, but Adam Knight gave his heart to the Lord, and the Lord took care of him, and the Lord helped him. And I'm so thankful to the Lord for what the Lord has done. And we're looking forward to have him again. And I'm going to ask him, I don't know the will of the Lord, but I'm going to ask him if he's led. We'd like to hear his testimony. I was told that he cannot speak his testimony in one service because he breaks down. And he weeps and weeps, and the young man can see the glory of God, you know. And I'm thankful to the Lord for people like that. When he left, I was thinking about him, and I said, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ being manifested. You know that? You know? Did you see how many times he repeated the blood of Jesus, salvation, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost? He keeps on going and going. That's what keeps him. The Holy Spirit, he says, will keep you and guide you. That's an evidence, Brother Adam Knight. So I'll be talking to him again. Just remember him in prayer. I'd like to thank Brother Brian for opening his house to have all of us there, the whole church. Especially I want to thank Sister Lydia for preparing all this food. You know, she worked hard. I don't know what to say thank you to you, Lydia, but we're thankful, okay? Also, the sisters that help Lydia at the kitchen. You know, any time you help Lydia at that time that's expecting, it's a good thing, correct? Because she cannot carry the load alone. But I'm thankful for the home that they opened their home. I'm praying so the Lord will lead us. Because it seems to me this time the Lord brought all these speakers. Somehow in my mind I talked to them. And you know, for so many years that I know Brother Adam Knight, I never heard him preach. But I'm glad that I heard him preach when he was here. And I'm glad anytime a minister speaks about the Holy Ghost, I like that. That's something there. And young people, that's how life goes. You can go down the tube before you even know it. It doesn't take too long. Get wrapped up with the wrong friends, and then you'll be in trouble. Look at your friends, and then eventually you'll see what you're going to be. The best thing to do, break away from them. I don't care how close you are with them. Stay with the Lord and worship the Lord and love the Lord. Pay the price now. Instead of later on, that you wouldn't know what to do it and how to handle things. We know people that they were in all kinds of drugs and they cannot recover. You have to babysit with them all the time. But Brother Adam Knight, the Holy Ghost in him that does it. Amen? I believe that. So young people, don't destroy your life. You have your life. Go on. Go to school somewhere. Do something with yourself. Honor your parents. Stay with it. Because there's death out there. I'm telling you that much, you know. Who's going to pick you up? You know, I don't know, but the Lord knows. I have been, lately, I had one service only, but I like to go continue, and the reason that I'm continuing is because the subject, the infallibility of the Scriptures, is the foundation that each one of us are supposed to have to be able to judge truth from error. Without the Scriptures, there's no way to be able to evaluate or judge anything. And I was talking to a brother yesterday, and he was telling me about an instance, very respected man, that the people, he says, don't believe in the Bible anymore. I said, if you don't believe in the Bible, Satan is after you anyway. Because just the idea of rejecting the Scriptures this hour is satanic. Because by rejecting the Scriptures, you're rejecting Christ, which is the Word. And our praise of the Lord will help us. Never let the Bible away from your hands. Sometimes I feel to take the Bible and hold it at night, you know, when you feel somehow pressed or something to hold the Bible at night and to say, sleep with it and say, Lord, that's all my hope right there, you know. There's something there, you know what I mean? Although it's a tangible paper, it's something that we have to praise God. In the book of Proverbs, the 30th chapter, chapter 30, verses 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He says, shield unto them that put their trust in him. Art thou known unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. You know, the word of God doesn't need any correction. You know that?
Amen.
It's already there. And it's an amazing thing. You know that? Amazing thing. Because the more I think about the carnal ways, the word of God doesn't have to have somebody that probably has a degree somewhere to be able to read the Scriptures. A simple man and simple woman probably can read probably one line in 15 minutes. The Lord can make it life to them, and they can rejoice in the Lord. There's something when you see all the textbooks that have been written, all the materials that have been written, and the students take them and study and study, and then probably take another course that's more advanced than another course. You know, with the book of Jesus, there's no advanced courses. It's just his word, and what happened with his word, he looks at you, and he looks at me, and he works over what he wants us to teach us, what we're supposed to know, because his word is perfect, and you cannot add anything to the Scriptures and claim that was perfect before. I like that. You know why? Because what you hold in your hands is the perfect Word of God. The parables, the Psalms, the prophets, the law back there, Paul, all these are working together in one unit. And here, Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, says every word of God is pure. You know, purity cannot be found anymore. Do you know that? You look sometimes in a high school and you say, who is pure among them? There's nobody pure. But be very few, just a handful. You know why? Because you live in a polluted world. I never forget a statement that Brother Gordon sometimes he makes to me. He said, I pray, Brother David, Lord, you put me in the middle of Sodom. Just how you can keep me clean, I don't know. Keep me and guide me and protect me. We are in Sodom. People don't realize we are in Sodom. We're in the middle of a mess. And here he speaks about purity. Purity is there's no pollution in it. And the key of the whole thing to remember, and one of the things tonight, If you try to do anything with the scriptures, to add or take away, you destroy the purity. You have to leave it alone. Sometimes Brother Branham said this, Brother Branham said this, Brother Branham said that. I tell you what I believe about that. The scriptures is pure. And if you have a true prophet, wait on the Lord until he shows you in the scriptures what it's all about. Don't jump and throw away the scriptures and start splicing quotes and do all these things that's done today. Purity must be retained so you'll be able to understand and pray and the Holy Spirit to reveal to you. Now, when you look at the scriptures, you go to a bookstore and you buy a Bible. You buy that Bible, and you look at the Bible, and you have confidence that everything that the Word of God is supposed to be is right in that book. I'm sure if it was missing a chapter or a verse or something, you wouldn't buy it. Just give me something, that's the whole thing. Because you wouldn't buy a halfway Bible, do you? Or you wouldn't buy something that has somebody else's ideas. And I know there are Bibles like Scofield and so on that has notes, which is fine. But Scofield is not the scripture. The Bible is the infallible Word of God. We can receive help from many books, but if there's any contradiction in our heart about that, then it's not God. And now when we see God speaking of the purity of the world, and what happens is shield unto them that put their trust in Him. By looking at the scriptures, that's where we stand. At the time of the turmoil, at the time of the pressure, at the time we don't know what to do, we go back to the book of Genesis, for example, Exodus, and we read, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." When Moses tried to cross on the other side, the Egyptians in the back tried to get out of Egypt, and all of a sudden you see the chariots of people in panic. Moses says, "Stand still." And I'm thankful to the Lord that I can read the word of the Lord stand still in many circumstances in my life and say, God is with me, you know, regardless of what the people are going to say. Just stand still with it and wait. But you're ready to be destroyed, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. You know something? Anything that God permits to be destroyed needs to be destroyed. God might be destroying self. God might be destroying pride. God might be destroying things that we have that we don't like to admit them. But God will take care of everything. You know? Trials, temptations. Some trials, I know, we generate them ourselves. But when we look up to the Word of God, is the answer somewhere. I get patient out of the Word of God. The Scripture teaches me patience. Patience. Teach me to go to Christ. Teach me to trust Him and nothing else. I can read Hebrews, the 11th chapter, about the heroes of faith, and each one of them is a special case to me. Why? Because it's God in the Scriptures. That's why. Now, when you see the Scriptures like that, and we read from this, from the book of Proverbs, unless something is revealed to us by God, there's no way for us to understand it. First of all, remember, you have a Bible, it's a good thing to read it. But as far as the Scripture is revealed, don't trust in your own mind. God has to reveal it to you. Amen? Because Revelation, God removes that veil and tells you, here it is. You were reading it 50 times that verse before. But when God opens it, it says, Jesus, woe is me, here it is. That's where my answer is. And I love the Scriptures. When you read Deuteronomy 29:29, you read this. The secret things of God belong unto the Lord, our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. Just listen to what he's saying. The secret things to God belong unto the Lord, our God. In other words, God has His own ways of dealing with me and with you. People have digged down to try to find the mysteries and the secrets,
And Paul writes, he says, that they are the ones that are intruding unto those things which they have not seen, vainly puffed up by their fleshly minds. But here there are certain things God tells you that he's going to reveal. That's a beautiful verse, isn't it? He said this, listen to this, but those things which are revealed, those things that God removes the veil and say, now I'm teaching you. Quite a few people say, Brother Abraham has a revelation of Jesus Christ. I don't doubt. But you can read the revelation in the messages and come to the scriptures. Unless God give you the revelation, there's no way to know what he's talking about. Do you know that? Because it belongs to God. Anything that God reveals, it's there. But revelation, God has to open it to you to be able to see and say, here it is. I remember when I wasn't able to put Matthew 28:19 and Acts 2:38 together. And when it opened to me, I just started crying. It wasn't just open. Everything was open. I took it grammatically, the whole thing, you know, from the beginning to the end was fitting. You know? And then I didn't have any problem. Why? God revealed it. Then when you are baptized, do something, confess that you, God, have done something into your heart, and you're not sitting in the corner to say, they did that, and I did that, and they did that, so I would do the same thing. It doesn't work like that. You don't take baths, friends. We talk about revelation. And Paul now, in the New Testament, deals with that subject a lot. And the scripture, that's all the scriptures, are given and revealed to us by God, for we read in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God. All scriptures are given. You know, you say, I'm going to do my own job. I'm going to study. I'm going to find out what God means about that subject. But you know, I'll give you a shortcut. Just fast and pray and says, Lord, reveal to me what's so and so. Because any other way you can fall in the ditch without even knowing. You can get messed up with doctrines and all these things. But when you go to God, you surrender to God. And you say, Lord, I don't understand these things. I don't understand what they are talking about. I remember one time in my life, some people tried to put me in Brother Bram's office. It was a little trailer. And they tried to convince me that one of them was Caleb, the other one was Joshua. And you know, the Lord someday, I have to answer for what I'm saying. He blinded my mind. I thought that these guys were talking Chinese. I couldn't understand what they were talking about. I tried to reason what they were saying, but I couldn't understand it. And you know, I said to them, give me some scriptures to pray and fast. Well, he's not a seed. That's what I was getting. But you know something? Any time that we claim to have a revelation and run away from the scripture, I don't believe it's from God. You cannot run away, you know. You can reason, you can splice codes, you can do lots of things. But unless God reveals it, opens it to you. And I start listening to them. I want to listen because I was their guests. And I was listening. But you know something? I couldn't understand what they're talking about. It was exactly like Chinese. Have you ever been so tired that your mind is confused and you cannot retain anything? And anything they tell you, you cannot even put it together and you are dizzy? I was worse than that in their presence. But God has ways of doing things. Why? Because the scriptures are infallible and pure from any hybriding. Anytime you try to mix something, you say, Brother David, what about the message? The message must be coming to the scriptures. You cannot take the message away from the scriptures and create doctrines. Splice here and splice there. Because you're going to be in trouble. Many people are in trouble today. They don't even know it. Listen what in the book of Psalm we read, 12:6. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. You know, when he speaks about purity, I don't know if you have been in any places. Remember in Johannesburg, South Africa. I think that's the second capital of the world in gold. Because some of the other countries, Russia is number one, Johannesburg is number two. And they design things, and they have the guys with the little torches there, and also wait how they melt it, and they have a pot of gold all the way melted. And on the top, there's some kind of a black thing comes out in the purification. It's boiling. The man comes around and picks up the top things. He got a special thing. And always remains more clean and more clean and increases the carats because there's no dirt in it. And I watch how they work. It's just designing rings and sides of the watches and bracelets and so on. And I said, that's something. Why? Because it's pure. It's going through the furnace. I'm just wondering about ourselves if all of us need to go to the furnace. To purify ours. To just be pure scriptures, pure word of God. And then when we listen to tapes, by having the knowledge of the scriptures, we should be able to receive the message without hybriding it. There's a hybridization that takes place, my friend. By the time you listen to the message, and then you splice it and take it to the scriptures. And the people don't realize that. I'm doing this study for some things that probably the church should know. We cannot sit forever like that. Doctrines are flying around and everything else. Someday you have to stand. And I will be recording some of these materials. Now in Psalms 119:40 says this, thy word is very pure. Listen to this. Therefore thy servants love it. Isn't it beautiful? To go to the Word of God and says, I know I'm studying the pure Word of God. Regardless of how many books you're going to read, friends, I don't care how old they are or how new they are, nothing substitutes the Word of God. It's something there. Because sometimes you read and you read and you go nowhere, then you go to the Scripture. The only thing you get, the references from there, and then you put them together, and here the Word of God is opening and opening, and you say, I'm not deserving to preach. You know how many times I have come to the point that I have to fake myself to say, look, let's play a tape today. But you know why? Because after you study, you feel that you're not worthy. But you have to stand in grace. There's no other way to do it. Stand on grace and go ahead and preach it. He says, Lord, I'm not going to compromise for myself, and I'm not going to compromise for anybody else. I'm standing on your grace. I have nothing else to stand except you. That's it. I love the Word of God. When we continue looking at the Scripture, there's no other book in the world that can say this, that the Word of God is tried and stood the trial. There's no dross in it. Nothing has been found in it. Nothing's clean. You know, it's beautiful. I hear sometimes different translations and so on. But let me tell you something. I realize that King James was written in the English language and in England. Define sometimes some words different. But get a good dictionary sometimes. And if you don't understand it, study it. Study it. And you find out, at least for me, other translations so far watered down that I don't consider them in Bibles. You know what I do? I put them on the side. I have no objection from Dr. Lamza's Bible. You know, Dr. Lamza, when he wrote it was with the Eastern manuscripts. We're working with the Western manuscripts. That's more Catholic. The Eastern manuscripts of Lamza was the pure thing that you see there. And when Lamza translates that, and too bad, he preached one time before Brother Branham, and we still have the tape. I'm going to look at sometimes to hear what the men had to say about the scriptures, about the translations. But if I didn't know any other languages, I'd just go to King James or Lambs and says, Lord, guide me, lead me, protect me. Lambs has good translation, but King James I favor it because there are some things there. If you have an English dictionary, a good English dictionary, you can define some words that mean something else in England. Now, having God as an author to this book, it was truth without any mixture or error or any disturbance. Think of it. What you're holding, it's God. Think of it. It's not like a book to read to keep your mind busy to get away from the problems. Any place you open it, God's speaking. The question is, you and I have to be in a state to open our hearts and say, Lord, help me to receive what you have for us. You know, we open our Bible sometimes to read, which is fine, but spend a little time in prayer before and you find out it will be another book for you. Brother Herb, some time ago, make the statement about early in the morning. And as I study about early in the morning, some of the greatest revelations and prophecies were given early in the morning. Do you know that? You know? The people get up early in the morning and pray. History tells us missionaries, they get up 3-4 o'clock in the morning and they pray. They pray and they pray. And so sometimes we try to study when we come back from work and we are so dead tired and you just go to sleep right on the top of our Bibles. Spend a few minutes in the morning to study the Scriptures. We have to make a rapture, friends. We are not playing games around here. Why? Because the world consumes our spirit. I learn when I study in the morning and it seems to me the Holy Spirit comes sometimes and Scripture becomes life. And I say, Lord, keep me. And you know, the whole day is different. Sometimes when you just don't make your devotions in the morning, you have quite a few problems. You're irritated. You know how I'm comparing it? Like sometimes you got up in the morning, you didn't have anything to eat for breakfast, and you try to go without eating. You eat from the Word of God in the morning, will keep you the rest of the day. Because He is with you. God now, when we look at the Word of the Lord, He's the author, and we read a minute ago, the words of the Lord are pure words. What a purity. To know you can pick up this book in the morning to read. There's no book in the world that can be compared. There's no book in the world without contradictions and things that are not real. There's no historian that ever wrote anything without being mistaken. But the Scripture remains always the same. And I like it. You know why? Because Paul and the rest of them talk about their mistakes and they have nothing to hide. Because of the grace of God. And I learned for myself to approach it in a way of learning. You study David, and David has up and downs. But I don't play an instrument. Sometimes, if you have time in the daytime, early in the morning, read a few scriptures and play your instrument, a little guitar or something. The Scripture teaches us through music, evil spirits left. Do you know that? People think that just playing the guitar or having an instrument, just sing a song, Amazing Grace in the morning. The Holy Spirit can come down in you and bless you and guide you and lead you. We need these things, don't we? You know, this we need. Now, all statements must be tested by the Scriptures. Here we come to problems. People said, Brother Bram said this, Brother Bram said that. I don't doubt it. But I believe in order for me to understand what Brother Branham said, I have to bring it somewhat to the Scriptures. Because he gives the revelation, but the content still remains the Scripture. Always is the scripture in the front of us. Always you have to consult the scriptures, regardless who spoke or when. For we know that Matthew 22:19, write that verse down if you want to, you'll be using it, says this, Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Lack of knowledge of the scriptures is a terrible thing. You remember Hosea? I think it's around the 5th chapter when he said, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I have rejected thee. The more we study, the more we see the grace of God. We reject studying the Word and expect everybody else to tell us what we're supposed to believe. That's wrong. We're supposed to be in a state to evaluate truth by the Holy Spirit. To know where we stand, to know where we believe, what we believe. We don't have to depend, tell me and I'll do what you tell me. Really, if somebody tells you what to do and you do, it doesn't mean you do the right thing, because it's not done by the Lord, by your heart. It's done because somebody else said so. You say, why do you include with that everything? Everything. What a sermon out of that. Because thou rejected knowledge. I remember that was the difference between knowledge, gnosis, and epignosis. Epignosis is by revelation, not just by mind. God is wonderful to us. Who was not blessed from the meetings? Everybody did. It was something for everybody. Am I right? We're sitting here and we appreciate the visitation of the Lord. Start studying a little more of the scriptures. You get double next time. Because these people were Holy Ghost believers. You know, I'll tell you one thing. Don't be shocked someday if I will ever don't realize who the man is and have me preach and start splicing quotes. I'll get up to tell him to sit down. I like to hear the scriptures. I don't care if they use quotes as long as they bring them to the scriptures. That's what I believe. And that's why you avoid lots of problems. I just look at the life of Brother Adam Knight. And Brother Brian traveled with him in Europe and so on. And I look at the brothers and I said, well, they traveled together. I could have asked Brother Adam Knight to stay with me, and I did. But then I felt it's better to stay with Brian. They might plan for another trip or something. It would be wonderful if the Lord leads like that. Because we cannot stay on the way, friends. I wasn't about to stay on the way, Brother Brian, Brother Adam Knight. They're all friends, love and enjoy themselves. Right? Let them enjoy themselves. The Lord blesses them. So what do we see as an outline tonight? We can see that the scriptures are infallible. The scriptures are pure. And the scriptures cannot be polluted, because you define yourself a liar before God. We have to honor the scriptures. We have to know the scriptures. Because Jesus actually said unto them, you err before not knowing the scriptures. When I start studying it, I start digging in it. And you know our mistakes are so great because we don't know what we're doing. Without the scriptures, we don't know what we're doing. We think we do, but we know nothing. And what Brother Graham said about the last days, friends, don't take the message away from the scriptures. Did you see what Brother Graham said and have done? Always before the tape, he had the scriptures read, except one or two sermons out of the 1,200. What are you talking about, Brother David? And I don't want to say these things like that, but I remember a long time when we started putting the books together in bound volumes and paperbacks. I went through tremendous turmoil, my soul. A tremendous turmoil. Nobody knows. Nobody will ever know. But the decision was
to put the scriptures with the books. And I'm so thankful to the Lord that was done like that. It was a lot of work for Lisa, Polly, and the rest of them, Sister Grace. But remember this, today, not because of the people, but because of the grace of God. How many hardbound volumes do you have, Lisa? How many volumes? Huh? 46 hardbound volumes, the minimum of 500 some pages per volume. The work is done now, we'll go to 57. Took a lot of headaches, a lot of tension, and lots of arguments. But the work of the Lord was first. And I'm not asking for any clapping or anything like that. The only thing I'm saying, I can see the scriptures with the message together, and I stay with it. One man fuss about it. He says, Brother Dave, you have no business to put scriptures on the side. That's actually like footnotes anyway. That man was a preacher. And I feel sorry for him. Because the scriptures are infallible. Let's stand. Let's sing that chorus, I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I'd like to ask Brother Craig to close us in a word of prayer. God bless you, Craig. Amen. I surrender all.
Jesus Christ. Amen.